Thumbtack presents the ins and outs of caring for your home. Out. Uncertainty. Self-doubt. Stressing about not knowing where to start. In. Plans and guides that make it easy to get home projects done. Out. Word art. Sorry, live, laugh, lovers. In. Knowing what to do, when to do it, and who to hire. Start caring for your home with confidence. Download Thumbtack today.
If you have health insurance, you might be able to see a personal dietitian for $0 out of pocket. Nourish connects you with a dietitian that fits your needs, covered by your insurance. Nourish accepts hundreds of insurance plans, and 94% of patients pay $0 out of pocket. Meet with your dietitian online and message them anytime through the Nourish app. With hundreds of five-star reviews from real patients, you know you're in good hands. Find your dietitian at usenourish.com. That's usenourish.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
It is 8:16. Tommy Tucker, WWL, joined by our friend Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. Good morning, Dane. How are you?
Just fine, Tommy. Morning to you.
Enjoying the spring weather, are you?
Oh, who is it?
Are you a golfer or not?
No, it's too frustrating. I just gave it up.
It is very, very, very. Mark Twain said it's a good walk spoiled, and he was right. Let's talk about this verdict. And in doing a little bit of research on this, I thought initially this was a bench trial, and I realized that Judge Michael Clement just presided over it. It was a jury trial. But I wanted to ask you, not to get too far into the weeds here, but did the Chevron verdict going way back allow this to be, ironically, a jury trial?
Well, I mean, in most civil cases, if they reach
Chevron
the amount
doctrine
in controversy.
Is what I meant to say. Chevron doctrine.
The Chevron doctrine really didn't have anything to do with this. Okay. That's kind of a statutory interpretation decision for the United States Supreme Court. In this case, Chevron was found to be liable for nearly $750 million. But it doesn't have anything to do with the U.S. Supreme Court's case.
All right, I just wanted to make sure I wasn't conflating stuff, which I was, and that's why a little bit of damage is a dangerous thing. So knowledge, rather, is a dangerous thing. So basically, this comes down to a balance between, well, maybe you, why don't you tell us what it comes down to, Dane, historically in the context of oil companies and providing jobs in Louisiana and fixing the mess that they make, but and then not fixing it, or take me through all of this, please.
Yeah, it depends on who you talk to, what people think about this verdict. Of course, the plaintiffs in the case, in this case, Plaquemines Parish, and there are some 42 other cases just like it that are in line to be tried by on behalf of parishes and municipalities. The argument is that these oil companies made a mess. They didn't clean it up, and this verdict is just what is due to the citizens of Louisiana for the land loss, mostly caused by these oil companies digging canals that cause freshwater intrusion and the erosion of marshland. They left behind equipment and slop that needs to be cleaned up, and that costs money, and the citizens shouldn't pay for it, but the oil companies who made the mess should do that. And that's what the plaintiff said, and they were supported in this, which was something very significant, according to all who were involved in this case. And unusual is that the state of Louisiana essentially supported the plaintiff's case here, and that support from the attorney general and the governor's office, in the view of some people, made all the difference and resulted in this nearly $750 million verdict that, once interest and attorney's fees is added to it, is going to be well in excess of $1 billion. On the other hand, if you listen to organizations like Lobby, the Louisiana Association of Business and Industry, the American Tort Organizations, say this is yet another example of why Louisiana is a judicial hellhole, that we have jury jackpot justice here, and this land loss was caused by, among other things, global warming and the environment, and is not solely can't solely be laid at the feet of oil companies. And there's a big appellate issue that the defendants are going to raise. That is, they are being held liable under, if you believe them, under a statute that was came into effect in 1980 that didn't apply to operations, oil and gas operations that predated the statute, and therefore that retroactive application to them is unfair and should be the basis for reversing this verdict on appeal.
Ironically, they're saying global warming, but the reason there would be global warming would be because of the fossil fuels that they were producing?
Yeah, there have been some tremendous lawsuits, huge litigations that have been filed trying to blame global warming on oil companies that have not been successful. But this is a smaller version of that, saying that the canals cut by the oil companies have caused coastal erosion, and that coastal erosion needs to be paid for by the oil companies. It's not solely caused by global warming and rising sea levels.
But Chevron said that it was global warming that caused it, admitting that global warming was happening or not?
Well, I mean, they did. That was part of their argument on causation, is that climate change is partly responsible for the loss of wetlands.
You see where I'm headed with that, and I'm just wondering, does that put them in a bad spot going forward?
Well, no, because those lawsuits just were doomed from the start, trying to blame global warming on a handful of energy companies. Those lawsuits haven't gone anywhere, and I don't think Chevron was concerned about making arguments in this case that would come back to bite them in those other cases. So what Chevron is really hoping is that the legal errors, according to Chevron's lawyers, that caused these jurors to reach this verdict are going to be reversed on appeal. And the retroactive application of that 1980 law is one of the principal issues that the courts of appeal and ultimately the Louisiana Supreme Court are going to have to deal with over the next 2 or 3 years.
Well, let me take a break. We'll pick it up here. We'll come back about what happens from here. Talking to Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola. Two sides of this. People that work in the oil industry are saying this could lead to, and LABI, L-A-B-I, as Dane said, saying it could inhibit future oil production in Louisiana. Others, I think, saying that, well, the days of that are, for the most part, over with, and now it's time for the oil companies to clean up and for the municipalities to collect. 822 traffic now, WWL. 828 Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back with Dane Cialino, professor of law at Loyola, talking about, in a way, it kind of flew under the radar, but it is a big deal. Chevron liable for $745 million in damages, but it might be more than that because there's still some computation to be done, Dane?
Absolutely. Interest is going to have to be added to that, an attorney's fee award. So it's easily going to go over $1 billion. This case has been pending since 2012. The lawyers have been working on it and financing it for all those years. So it's gonna grow.
So a lot of money on both sides is into this already, right? Chevron's not gonna get any of that back. They're looking to limit the loss at this point, I guess. The attorneys got a lot of work and a lot of time and money into this already on the plaintiff side. So ultimately, does Chevron settle here and cut their losses? Does it go to the Supreme Court, and then what's CPRA going to get, because the lawyers got to get paid for the time they have into this? How do you go about solving all of that, King Solomon?
Yeah, that's a lot of difficult poker decisions that Chevron's got ahead of it at this point. Chevron, of course, has got to play the long game on this, and there are 42 other lawsuits, and Chevron no doubt is the target in many of those. Mm-hmm. Chevron, of course, acquired Texaco some years ago and Texaco had a lot of oil and gas operations in the Louisiana Marsh. So Chevron can't afford just to bail on this case and settle it, although it's going to be part of their thought process. They've got to think about the long game and try to get some good law made on appeal about the retroactivity of the 1980 statute that was a large basis for the plaintiff's award.
Dane, you mentioned earlier that golf was frustrating. Just real quick, which is more frustrating, golf or me thinking that I have a brilliant legal mind?
You're really putting me on the spot there, Tommy.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it.
No,
we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola, 8:30 time for WL First News. 8:28, Tommy Tucker, WWL. Quickly back with Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola, talking about, in a way, it kind of flew under the radar, but it is a big deal. Chevron liable for $745 million in damages, but it might be more than that because there's still some computation to be done, Dane?
Absolutely. Interest is going to have to be added to that, an attorney's fee award. So it's easily going to go over $1 billion. This case has been pending since 2012. The lawyers have been working on it and financing it for all those years. So, it's going to grow.
So a lot of
this season, a new hot deal has arrived at Metro. $25 a line for 4 lines with all the data you need and 4 free Samsung Galaxy A15 5G phones. Getting Metro's best deals is easy. No ID required, no activation fees. Get a new number or keep your own. It's up to you. That's 4 lines for $25 a line plus 4 free phones. Visit a store or go online today. Only at Metro by T-Mobile.
When you join Metro Plus Tax, for a limited time and subject to change. Max one offer per account.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
A lot of money on both sides is into this already, right? Chevron's not going to get any of that back. They're looking to limit the loss at this point, I guess. The attorneys got a lot of work and a lot of time and money into this already on the plaintiff side. So ultimately, does Chevron settle here and cut their losses? Does it go to the Supreme Court? And then what's CPRA going to get? Because the lawyers got to get paid for the time they have into this. How do you go about solving all of that, King Solomon?
Yeah, that's a lot of difficult poker decisions that Chevron's got ahead of it at this point. Chevron, of course, has got to play the long game on this, and there are 42 other lawsuits, and Chevron, no doubt, is the target in many of those. Mm-hmm. Chevron, of course, acquired Texaco some years ago, and Texaco had a lot of oil and gas operations in the Louisiana Marsh. So Chevron can't afford just to bail on this case and settle it, although it's going to be part of their thought process. They've got to think about the long game and try to get some good law made on appeal about the retroactivity of the 1980 statute that was a large basis for the plaintiff's award.
Dane, you mentioned earlier that golf was frustrating. Just real quick, which is more frustrating, golf or me thinking that I have a brilliant legal mind?
You're really putting me on the spot there, Tommy.
Thank you, Dane. Appreciate it.
No,
we'll talk to you next time. Thank you, Dane Ciolino, professor of law at Loyola, 8:30 time for WL First News. 8:45, quarter till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Joe Geruso, New Orleans City Council member. How you doing, Joe? Good, me too.
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah, you had me muted?
No, I think it switched over. I heard the ding come on, so I don't know what happened there.
Was your seatbelt fastened?
I'm in my office, so I'm not even driving now.
That's even more important to have your seatbelt fastened over there. Let's talk about, first of all, let me get to this, because look, I have an election every morning, right? And people text in questions, and every time you come on, somebody texts in about restoring West End to vibrant commerce. Growth is the solution to our problems. Every time you come on, this person texts about West End. They are constituents, so let me ask you about West End. Do you know anything about the development of West End?
We actually had a couple of meetings about this maybe about a month ago, one in Jefferson Parish, one in Orleans. And there were a small group of people who want to keep it as it is and didn't want anything to change. But it really seemed like the majority of people were more interested about what, and I will use this term, responsible development looked like. Mm-hmm. And like every project, I think people are concerned about traffic, noise, parking. That always goes with the territory. At the same time, I think everybody remembers what West End was and was there and wants there to be something there. So we're working towards that.
So what is it now? I haven't been out there in forever. Is it just an overgrown parking lot or what?
They're actually, I think, they're leasing part of the land for people who have construction, I think, out there. Mm-hmm. So there's actually some materials on the ground there at that point right now. I actually think that the city or municipal yacht harbor is making money because they're actually charging people for it, for the lay down yard that's there. But look, I mean, the bottom line has been much of the yacht harbor has been restored. Parts of around that area have been restored. And we've been talking about this for close to a decade. So it'd be nice to see if we can move this forward.
I was watching something just flipping around on TV and one of these WYES specials about New Orleans in the 50s, and they had some shots of West End, and it really was something. Now, I wasn't around in the 50s, but I can remember growing up and my parents taking me out there to Fitzgerald's and everything else. You think that's ever likely to return?
Well, I don't know if it'll be on that scale. And look, Tommy, I remember Fitzgerald's and Brunings as a kid, too.
Oh,
I was a little too young for the Jaeger scene. In the early and mid 80s. But we want something out there. I don't know that it will be as big just because the footprint is smaller, but are we looking at what makes sense? What can the market allow? What do residents want? Yes, that's what the goal is. And look, it's exciting for us too, because I think a number of us feel as though one of our most underutilized resources are our waterways. And there's lots of other cities that use that for their economic development. And again, this isn't a new approach. This was something that was there for decades, if not close to a century before Katrina. Katrina wiped it out, and it's hopefully a time where things are starting to settle in so we can move forward.
Capital investment doesn't just happen. Somebody's got to be willing to put the money up. But does insurance play a hand in a role in any of that, Joe?
I think insurance will play a role in all of that. Part of it too, Tommy, like one of the things you sort of alluded to is being over the water. Kind of unlikely you'll have significant structures over the water. It could be possible that some of it is inside the waterway, so you're not sticking out, or if it is, it's a very minor way. Obviously, insurance is a part of it. The interest rates going up are a part of it. Materials becoming more expensive is a part of it. But if you look at the sort of the market analysis that the outside consultant provided, the lakefront area is one that's been growing and has needs. And look, my view is that's good for the lakefront, but this is really supposed to be a city asset too, and one for hopefully Jefferson Parish as well. And so we can get a place where you have people from both parishes and not just the lakefront coming over and kind of having a little destination place to go to.
Counselor, did you say you remembered Fitzgerald's, but you were too young to remember Jaeger's in the 80s? Is that what you said?
I was too young for the Jaeger scene, I think, in the 80s, right?
Okay.
And Bart's, I was still in elementary school. I'm not casting stones at anybody.
No, I understand. Yeah, I was just wondering about that because there's a little bit of inconsistency in your testimony there. Let me take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about this. I'm going to read from the Joseph Cranny NOLA.com article. New Orleans Mayor LaToya Cantrell leaned on Police Superintendent Aaron Kirkpatrick in an attempt to help a controversial lieutenant shot at a promotion last fall. Actions of Civil Service Commission, a new ruling called an improper violation of city policies. I look at this as a positive thing because Ann Kirkpatrick stood up to the mayor in a way. We'll talk more with Joe Geruso when we come back. Traffic now, WWL. All right, 8:56, 4 till 9, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to Councilmember Joe Geruso. Let's talk about this Boy, Joe, you know, just when you think you've heard it all, or LaToya Cantrell, the mayor, and I took this as a positive, and maybe you can tell us a story for a little bit of context, but I took it as a positive that Ann Kirkpatrick didn't kneel and bow down. She kind of handled it very diplomatically, said, okay, I'll pause it, but eventually right prevailed. Thoughts?
Well, I think there's a couple of things there. I mean, number one, I think all of us who are elected, sometimes you want to have your staff tell you, hey, you want to take a step back and do you want to think about this? And then number two, in this instance, also remember, not only did Chief Kirkpatrick, when it was coming to the promotions of different people, have to deal with a couple of issues. Number one, Tommy, is remember, if you don't follow the system, you really hurt morale internally. Mm-hmm. And I think that was something, irrespective of who the boss is, that you really have to think about what is your culture and how are things going to work. And number two, my understanding is she also said we should pause this and work together with the monitors who are still in place on the consent decree. And while I know there are some consent decree haters out there, this is, again, one of those instances where having guardrails with the monitors slowed things down. People took a deep breath. They went back and sort of investigated what needed to be done. And I think ultimately what happened, if I understand correctly, is they wound up relying on a matrix, which I think to promote people is based both on your scores plus interviews and other criteria. And it's sort of you mix an objective and a subjective test together to see who are the highest scoring people, considering both of those parameters. And then those are the people who are supposed to be promoted. And so, yeah, I think you have to applaud Chief Kirkpatrick for what she's done and for preaching and looking at things moving in a certain way and trying to do things the right way. And again, I think one of the reasons the rank and file police officers really like Ann is because they feel like she has their back, and making sure that there's certainty and discipline, certainty in promotions, predictability in the way things are going to be done is all anybody craves in office culture. I think she's really trying to do that. And my argument would be, that's probably part of the reason you've seen some better results from NOPD, because you see happy campers there.
Man, you're a pretty smart guy. You go to Shaw? Where'd you go to high school?
I went to another Catholic League school. Okay. You know which one that is.
Really? Yeah, it just seemed like that's pretty smart observation about you do want members of your staff to say, hang on. But without doubt, the mayor shouldn't have been meddling in this at all.
You want to stay away from it. Look, the hard part, Tommy, is I can understand if you are a mayor, you want things to operate the way that you want them to, and you want things to work out the way that you want to. I mean, that is whether anybody wants to admit that or not, I think every mayor and every elected official wants things to go their way.
Come on, Joe.
I know, but that's where I'm headed. But okay. Here comes the but.
All right.
Here comes the but.
Right.
But even though that's the case, you got to be careful and know where you can't put your thumb on the scale and say, we have to have a process and we're going to let the process lay out. Another thing too, Tommy, is even if you are a person who wants to move because you think you know what the right answer is, a lot of times your protection is in process. And following the right process yields to good results. And that's where I think we should all be headed.
Thank you, Joe.